Sue,
great to share in your worship. Hello, if I'm meeting anybody for the first time. Just to say, because I am your moderator at this time of pastoral vacancy, please continue to pray for us as leaders as we seek the Lord in the hugely important matter of seeking the senior minister for this church. You're wonderfully blessed by those who minister here, but we do feel it's right to make that appointment of a senior minister. So pray for us for your interest. We hope to start receiving names of potential candidates at the end of next month, at the end of June. So that will start the process. But throughout it all, if you've got any questions or things you want to talk through and I'm around, always feel free. We're here to serve you as we seek to discern together how the Lord is guiding us. Normally have an advert, and I have today as well. If you've not seen the new copies of Premier's Christianity magazine and Youth and Children's Work and the many things that fill them, you're welcome. Normally £5 to you, a love gift, if you'd find them helpful. They identify many important issues. A woman's place is in the, I'm sure that could get you going. And the Youth and Children's Work magazine, which is brilliant, is reflecting on youth internships with the provocative title, Are Internships and Gap Years Just Cheap Labour? But I commend those things to you. I actually really love travelling around to different places, and particularly when people say, this is the scripture, this is what you'll be preaching about, no free will involved in that, just this. And so I was excited to see what I was preaching on today, which is David the Undignified, which is a challenging and important title, and it's driven me to reflect hard on this important passage. No, the point of the sermon isn't to say you must go from here today and try and be as undignified as possible, or wear shorts like Jeremy. That's not the point of the sermon. It's a very deep message that we need to hear from this, and I've loved delving into it. There's no question we're called to serve the Lord responsibly and with dignity. And if you want to check up on that, especially for leaders, read 1 Timothy chapter 3. There are two issues I want to look at this morning, which are both, I think, are hugely important for us. One is worship, and the other is criticism and how we handle it. You cannot exaggerate the importance of this moment in the life of the people of Israel. David has been crowned king, and he's a 30-year-old, and he is determined that Jerusalem should be the home of God's people. That should be the capital city. And so right after his coronation, we read of him going and laying hold of Jerusalem, overcoming the Jebusites. It looked like an impossible task, but he did it. So Jerusalem has become the city of David. Jerusalem has become the headquarters. Now, you'll know, because you've read the earlier chapters of the Bible, the earlier books of the Bible, that God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments, and he ordered them to produce an Ark of the Covenant. And within the Ark of the Covenant, they would hold the Ten Commandments. So the Ark of the Covenant became the sort of symbol of God's presence with them. Now, there's no equivalent today, because the Spirit is everywhere. But we've got to take seriously what we're reading there in the Old Testament. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God with his people. So obviously David, excited to have got hold of Jerusalem, wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the city. And that's what we read of in the previous chapters. Beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 6, he chooses 30,000 men to accompany the Ark of the Covenant. This is no small little procedure. This is the nation taking hold of this huge moment and capturing the importance of it. And we see the excitement, verse 5, it says, David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, I don't know what they are, and cymbals. This is a tremendous moment as the Ark of the Covenant begins its journey towards Jerusalem. So get the excitement of all of this. There's a curious incident. As the ark makes its movement, the oxen who were pulling the ark stumbled, and Uzzah reached out, trying to be helpful, to stop the ark, to hold on to the ark. That was completely against the law, and he is struck dead. David is alarmed by this incident, as well he might be, and David concludes he doesn't want to take the ark, certainly not at this moment, to Jerusalem. But he finds Obed-Edom the Gittite, who sounds like a very nice man, that he was going to give house room to the Ark of the Covenant. Wouldn't you love to know the conversations which were? Anyway, they're not recorded, but good old Obed-Edom the Gittite, thoroughly good guy. The Ark of the Covenant spends 3 months at his house, and everybody is blessed by the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And so David says, this is the moment. Now we'll go on to Jerusalem after it's had the arrest there. David is incredibly excited. I don't know what moments of excitement you could look back on in your life which would in any way rival the excitement. This is the big pinnacle moment, okay? And he is so excited that, as we know, he dances before the Lord. He hasn't got a lot on, if you read the detail. But there is no self-consciousness about this at all. He is just so excited that the Ark of the Covenant has finally come to Jerusalem. His wife, Michal, who was Saul's second daughter, seems to have had a strained relationship with David, all sorts of complications and relationships we don't need to look into. Saul was determined to make it difficult for David to have Michal's hand in marriage, and so trying to get David bumped off, I don't think there's anything very subtle about it, he told David that he should go on an exploit that almost certainly would kill him. And because this is before the 9 o'clock watershed, I'm certainly not going to go into the details of that exploit. 1 Samuel 18 for you later for the eye-watering details. But Saul was trying to get David killed, there's no question about it. He succeeds in that mission, which you may read about, and Michal becomes his wife. She's one of 8 wives that we know of, and he had concubines as well. Please don't think in this series that we're commending everything of David and saying, why not give it a go? That's not the point of the sermon. There are things about David that belong to his culture. There are things that David did, as we know, that were wrong. We have to be discerning as we read this story. But the relationship with David and Michal is interesting. Michal, clearly because she was Saul's daughter, reminds David of that brutal dictator that Saul became. So there was always a strained relationship. So when you hear her comments and her complaining about him and his undistinguished actions leaping around before the Lord, don't assume that you would have drawn the same conclusion if you'd been there. You might have just raised an eyebrow and thought, bit curious, you know, the king, military commander, not a lot on, leaping around, you may well have thought it was surprising. But I want us to get to the heart of this. The heart of this is that David lets rip in worship. That's the heart of it. He is so excited at what the Lord has done. And I want to ask you the question, how do you give yourself to God in worship? You know, what are those moments when you just abandon yourself to God in worship? Because worship is at the heart of everything that we're called to be and to do. Put another story alongside this story. Let's go to John chapter 12. Let's go to Bethany. Let's see Mary pouring out that very expensive perfume. Do you remember? Well, it cost about 1 year's wages. Just imagine that. She pours out this perfume on Jesus. And what did the people around say? How irresponsible. What a terrible thing to do. That money could have been given to the poor, you know? Again, there are objections, but Jesus loves it because he just sees it as worship. He receives it. It might have been odd. It may not be something that could regularly be done, but he receives it as the worship that it was. The key to the life of this church is worship. Be clear about this. And what I'm saying to you is not, please don't hear this, that you need to start learning to dance in worship or you're not the real thing. That's not the point of it. And I've got a bad right knee anyway, so it's not going to happen. That's not the point of this. The point is worship. Giving your whole self to God. That's the point of the story. God wants you to give your whole self to him. And we need to reflect on the way in which we do that. At times it will involve our bodies. Perhaps it's not great at using their bodies in worship. Historically, we've tended to just sit there under the word. You know, that's been how we've been instructed to be. And we've watched other people kneeling in worship and think, well, we don't have to do that. Well, nor do you have to do that. But it can be very helpful. It's very biblical, that's for sure. Kneeling before the Lord, coming to the Lord in humility. And I commend to you, particularly if you haven't explored using different positions to worship God, may not be here, but at home, as you pray, it can be very helpful to kneel. Prostrating yourself before the Lord. Don't do it now. You need a whole load of space for it. But there are times when it is good to prostrate yourself. Again, it's very biblical. You're saying to the Lord in the clearest possible physical way, Lord, I'm abandoned to your will. I give myself entirely to you. Some people in worship choose to lift their hands in worship. Again, it's very biblical. You'll find many instances of people lifting hands in worship. I used to work with somebody, Michael, who studied hieroglyphics. I know nothing about hieroglyphics apart from what Michael's told me. But one of the things he told me was that one of the symbols for worship in hieroglyphics, so this is ancient, this is thousands of years old, the symbol for worship was that, a man standing before his God. So, you know, for old-fashioned people then, lifting hands of worship is a really great and obvious thing to do, very biblical. It's not a law. It's not saying you must do it. It's just saying, as we give ourselves to God, actually thinking about the use of our bodies is a very helpful thing to do. As we come to God, we need to prepare carefully. Even that curious story of Uzzah being zapped because he touched it, and it's a difficult story. Nevertheless, it's a story about holiness. It's a story about not taking God lightly. God is our friend, and that's wonderful. God is our companion. He's with us all the time, but he's not our mate. God isn't the same as us. He is the creator of the universe. And as we come to worship God, there should be a sort of a gasping. Yeah, we've done it many times before, but isn't it amazing that we are coming to the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There should often be a gasp in our breath as we come to worship. Prepare carefully for worship in your prayers during the week. Pray about the Sunday. Pray for the worship. We're so grateful for those who lead us in our worship. Many of you who share in that ministry, it's just brilliant. Thank you so much. They prepare carefully. We all need to prepare carefully. Prepare in prayer as we come to a Sunday, as we come to bring our worship to God. I would also say this, and this seems to be an increasingly important word. Come regularly to worship. The great thing about being a moderator, and if you're spotting it, I'm now here on a monthly basis. But it basically means I don't really know what's going on here. So I'm not the minister who's here every week, who knows exactly who's here and who's missing, and who missed last week, or no, 2 weeks. You know, I don't know that stuff at all. I just want to say to you from my heart, make worship a priority. There are so many other things to do in life. You have a busy life. I'm sure you have busy, you know, God bless you, and I'm sure it's all good stuff and all that. But make a priority of worship. Because we need to worship. We need that rhythm of worship. The reality of David's life, of course, was that this day of dancing before the Lord, it was not a typical day. This was a very, very special day. What we know about David was that he had a rhythm of worship. Day by day, he came before the Lord, worshiping him. And we need to get into that rhythm of daily worship and to support that daily worship on a weekly basis, to be here to support one another and to encourage one another and to declare together how great God is. Last time I was here, we were talking about generosity. As we bring our worship, we need to bring an offering that is fitting to the Lord. Whether, you know, the money comes forward, whether you're reflecting on what automatically went by bank transfer, that's fine. But it's what we're bringing to this act of worship. And I pray that as we come to worship God, we'll say, yeah, that was fitting. That was appropriate. Not, oh, that was easily done. Can't even remember what I give these days. Did it so long ago. Do you know, we need to come with a generous heart, giving to the Lord something that is honouring to him. But I'd say this also to you. As we come to worship God, come to open yourself to God's future. We've done that in a very beautiful and specific way for Linda and Simon today. Looking to the future. We don't know what the future holds, but we look with confidence and with faith to God's future. That's what we're doing every week for each of us. As we worship God, as we declare how great God is, we're saying to God, what do you want us to do next? We're saying to God, where do you want us to move next? What do you want us to do in our family life? What do you want us to do in our career? What do you want us to do in that difficult relationship we've got with, dot, 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 you fill it in. Lord, what do you want us to do? We're coming here. Yes, we're looking back. We're looking gratefully to what God has done in the past. But we're looking to this moment and saying, Lord, what will you do in our lives today? Many of you, I know, have got big changes happening in your lives. And you need to come to God today and say, Lord, I'm open to your future. I'm open to what you want for me and for my family. At the end of the service, we'll have the opportunity for prayer. I encourage you to come. Many of you who are going through big times of change, I encourage you to come forward just to pray with somebody, just to bring it before the Lord, to seek God's blessing upon you. David, what we see in this moment is just a wonderful example of ecstatic worship. Worship was at the heart of David's life, and I encourage you to look at your own worship. Are you fully giving yourself to God in worship? But I want to say a word also about criticism. So she doesn't hold back, bless. Michael says, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today. Being facetious. Disrobing himself in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. She's not happy. How do you respond to criticism? This is big criticism. Criticism, of course, in itself is neutral. There is positive criticism. There is destructive criticism. Michael is going for the destructive criticism version. Here's David's answers. It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house. Get the dig in. Who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. What he is saying is, I must worship like this. I hear the criticism, but I must worship God. In fact, if I can do more than this, that's what I'll do, because God is the center. God is the one whom I'm worshiping. I will do what I believe to be right before God. There are times when you are criticized, when you need to resist it. Look, can I just give you a simple word of advice? Normally, and I'd say it to David if he was here, normally when somebody criticizes you, it's good not to respond immediately. Because when you respond immediately, you'll tend to be defensive. I'm not blaming him, but I'm just saying you'll tend to be defensive. If you can find time before you need to make your response, it's a good thing to do, especially if it came as an email. David didn't have this challenge. But if you do have that, you've got time. It's very tempting, isn't it? We all know it. To email straight back, do not do that. Just give it time. Give it time, reflect. There are times, I don't think this is one of them, when people say something very negative to us, and actually we need to hear it. Maybe 40% of it is wrong, but we need to hear the 60% and receive it graciously and do something about it. So whenever you can find time, draw breath, find time, reflect, pray, even talk with other people about it. So-and-so has said this. Do you think that's right? Is that helpful? Let's pray about it. Let's find a way through. There are other times when criticism that's offered to us is agonizingly 100% right. And you'll still have a temptation, because we're all frail, all of us. We don't like being criticized. We don't like being told we're wrong. But there are times when we need to take a deep breath. We need to pray about it. We need to receive the hurt and then have the wisdom to say, actually, that was bang on target. And I need to receive that word. In this situation, what was said was wrong. She had a bad relationship with David. Let's not go into all the details, but it wasn't a good marriage. And it was clearly intended to obstruct him in his worship of the Lord. He has to resist that. If you call that undignified, let's try more indignity. That's what we'll go for. He's got to serve the Lord is his priority. But when words of wisdom are shared, even if they are painful at times, we need to be gracious. We need to receive them. Proverbs has lots of wise things to say about this to us. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise person listens to advice. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. My friends, the challenge we received today from this stirring passage, challenging passage, is how committed are we to worship? That's the real question. Not whether you're a good break dancer or not. Not are you prepared to be flamboyant in your worship. You are the person you are, but are you prepared to give yourself to God in worship? Are you prepared to make that priority? Because that's why we're here. That's why this church is here, to give glory to God. Are you open, as you worship God, to God's future? And if you are hearing anything, and some of you I know in the nature of life will be hearing something very sharp from what I've said about criticism. If you've recently received some criticism, may God give you grace. May God give you strength. May God give you wisdom as you respond to that. And may he give you the strength to listen to what is of him so that you will become wiser and stronger in your living for him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have to worship you, to give our whole selves to you. And Lord, I pray that you will lead us deeper into worship, that we will have the grace to listen to David's example, that we'll not be put off by criticism, we'll not be put off by people who think we got it wrong, but that we will stand for you, that we will worship you whatever happens. And Lord, we do commit to you those places where we have been criticized, and we pray that you'll teach us how to receive that criticism with grace, with wisdom, and that through it we may grow up in you and become stronger in you. Lord, thank you that you speak directly to our hearts, and we pray that we may have the ability this morning to listen to whatever you are saying to us as we come in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.